I powered up the transporter and said a silent prayer. I had no idea what I was going to do if it didn't work. My transporter was cheap, so even a droplet of moisture, or more likely a grain of sand, would cause it to short. It was faulty, and most of the time I had to restart it over and over before it worked. Please not now. Please not now, I thought. The transporter shivered in the sand, and I held my breath. Tiny, flat, and black as a prayer stone, it buzzed softly and then slowly rose from the sand. Finally, it produced the baggage lifting force. I grinned. Now I could make it to the shuttle. I swiped a jitsi from my forehead with my index finger and knelt down. Then I touched the finger to the sand, grounding the sweet-smelling red clay into it. Thank you, I whispered. It was a half-mile walk along the dark desert road. With the transporter working, I would make it there on time. Straightening up, I paused and shut my eyes. Now the weight of my entire life was pressing on my shoulders. I was defying the most traditional part of myself for the first time in my entire life. I was leaving in the dead of night, and they had no clue. My 9 siblings, all older than me except for my younger sister and brother, would never see this coming. My parents would never imagine I'd do such a thing in a million years. By the time they all realized what I'd done and where I was going, I'd have left the planet. In my absence, my parents would growl at each other that it was never to be that I would set foot in their home again. My 4 aunties and 2 uncles who lived down the road would shout and gossip among themselves about how I'd scandalized our entire bloodline. I was going to be a pariah. Go, I softly whispered to the transporter. Stamping my foot, the metal rings I wore around each ankle jingled noisily, but I stamped my foot again. Once on, the transporter worked best when I didn't touch it. Go, I said again, sweat forming on my brow. When nothing moved, I chanced giving the 2 large suitcases sitting atop the force field a shove. They moved smoothly, and I breathed another sigh of relief. At least some luck was on my side. That's from the opening of Binti, the complete trilogy, with a brand new Binti story by Nnedi Okafor. Here's a brief synopsis of the tale that we just heard open. Binti, our heroine, hails from a small town in Southwest Africa. She's a mathematical whiz whose intuitive mathematical skills bring her to be invited to attend one of the universe's stellar universities, and sadly it's not Purdue in the novel, it's Umza U. Though her parents and village are reluctant to see her leave their close-knit community, Binti takes off for this educational chance of a lifetime. And, as we heard our story open, she finds herself in a strange place among many new people. Soon she finds herself the sole human survivor on a ship bound for that most stellar of universities in the known universe, the survivor of a vicious alien attack that kills all of Binti's new friends and companions. Binti's journey in life after this horrific event, which happens very early in our story, is the stuff of these short stories. As shaken, she joins the university community, befriends one of those who had killed her companions, and learns that adapting to life as a young woman who can work with creatures beyond her own kind offers many rewards, but wrenching life choices as well. For you see, the Medusa, the creatures who have allowed Binti to survive while killing all others on the ship as she journeys to Umza U, are portrayed as an alien race whose rationale for killing all but one of the humans they encounter is that humans are A, not worthy of existence because of their view of the universe, and B, humans are not worthy of existence because they are not capable of understanding the world around them. If this sounds eerily familiar to life in our own world, then you're catching on to what Binti is going to be all about. So much of Binti will make this reflective case between the alternate universe of Binti and the world that we know. Okafor's use of the Medusa as creatures whose self-centeredness drive them to ignore anyone or anything other than Medusa will ring true not only through our understanding of human history, but through these stories and through Binti's experience of life as our story continues. Yes, Binti becomes the hero of her campus. She is credited with saving herself, her ship, and indeed the university, from a devastating alien attack. But at what price? She lost new friends who had become very dear to her, though certainly not through her own fault. And having been stung by the alien creatures known as Medusa, but not so badly hurt that she died from her encounter, she has become something of a hybrid human Medusa, with Medusa-like tentacles, they're kind of jellyfish-like, growing from her hair, intertwining themselves, so that to the quick observer, her naturally tended long locks seem more luxuriant in their growth than one might expect, but not repellent by any means. The ongoing PTSD Binti suffers from her heroics on the ship and the psychological impact of being so different, or so she thinks, from others around her, become a not surprising and ongoing struggle for her, and an ongoing opportunity for the author to comment about those who are different yet live among us every day as well. After all, for all the gumption and grit and joy she expresses in leaving her rural African village to attend the college of her dreams, Binti is still, in so many ways, the girl of the rural deserts, whose deep, one might say instinctive, ties to the soil of her home cause her mental anguish when she dwells upon leaving her past behind. And whom among us cannot relate to that? And yet she finds peace through daily rituals that date back to her early youth and indeed to her peoples long ago. Carrying with her a physical token of her new home, a huge jar of her native red soil that, when properly conditioned, is the emollient she uses daily to properly set her hair, kneading the red clay mix into her long locks, so that what is her hair and her Medusa growths and what is her native home blend into each other, comforting her with a long-standing tradition, with a physical piece of her homeland always upon her. Two, that Binti is a mathematical genius is simply a given for her. And again, how many folks do we know who have the same understanding and experience of the world with math, or with science, or art, or literature, or history, or engineering? Clearly, her genius is not any more expected in her time than in ours. It is this genius, this mathematical wizardry, let's remember, that is Binti's ability to see the world, that draws her most strongly away from her village and into the new, the larger world of the universe. A bit about that village life that Binti treasures and yet chooses to leave behind. It is said to be one of the more factual or real parts of our world as we read our story, set as it is in real rural Southwest Africa in the modern-day nation of Namibia. Well, Binti hails from a land where tribal relationships continue to be strong, a land where relationships are based upon extended families, a world of technological advancement, yes, but, too, a place in a culture where to leave one's geographic day-to-day world is scary for most of the inhabitants, too scary to seriously consider. So are we talking about rural and small-town Indiana, Illinois, Ohio here, or are we talking about Binti's world? I'll let you decide. Binti's is a world where one's understanding of self and the world around her is through the relationships she builds with others. A world where the red dirt desert is a place of welcome, not of fear. Where dry soil and blue sunlit skies are a source of joy. Think for a moment of the Midwesterners' satisfaction with the green of corn and soybeans, the rich black soil beneath, the bright sunny sky above, with just enough rainfall. And you have, I think, a very similar comparison between our lives and those of Binti's. It ought not to take much for us, then, to relate to this young woman who longs for her precious homeland nearly every day she is gone from it. For her, the desert is a place of home, just as for many of us, home is the multinational campus or the broad green fields that surround us. A word about the writing now. Binti is, as I noted, a gathering together of three short stories with a new fourth story added. They all flow well from one into the other in this newly published edition. And like other good collections, each of these short stories can stand on their own for the reader. But when read as a whole, they gain power and insight. Okafor's writing reminds me strongly of that of Ernest Hemingway. With both, the prose is sparely written, yet packed with emotion and thought, with brief sentences and tight dialogue that offer the reader, or the listener, for this writing seems to cry out for an audio version, offering the reader a depth of possible meanings that the brevity belies. Yes, Binti is science fiction, fantasy, some have even called it a horror story, but it's science fiction with a real twist. This is a novel that happens to have a sci-fi setting, but paints for us readers a life lived in a world that is oh so real for us as well. Binti is a young adult story that has resonance for teenagers, certainly, but certainly as well for folks in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, and beyond. It's a story that is part of this year's Big Read, co-sponsored by the Purdue University English Department, the West Lafayette Public Library, the Tippecanoe County Public Library, and several other community partners, where we encourage you to join us to read this book and to share your ideas and thoughts and comments as the fall semester proceeds. To give you a little more insight in the book, let's read just a little bit more from that opening chapter and get all of us a little bit further into the story. So that is how it all began. I found my room. This is on the ship. I found my group. 12 other new students, all human, all Kush, one of the neighboring tribes that she grew up with, between the ages of 15 and 18. An hour later, my group and I located a ship technician to show us one of the breathing chambers. I wasn't the only new Umza Uni student who desperately wanted to see how technology worked. The air in there smelled like the jungles and forests I'd only read about. The plants had tough leaves, and they grew everywhere, from ceiling to walls to floor. They were wild with flowers, and I could have stood there breathing that soft, fragrant air for days. We met our group leader hours later. He was a stern old Kush man who looked the 12 of us over and paused at me and asked, "Why are you covered in red greasy clay and weighed down by all those steel anklets?" When I told him that I was Himba, he coolly said, "I know, but that doesn't answer my question." I explained to him the tradition of my people's skin care and how we wore the steel rings on our ankles to protect us from snake bites. He looked at me for a long time, the others in my group staring at me like a rather bizarre butterfly. "Wear your red clay," he said, "but not so much you stain up the ship. And if those anklets are to protect you from snake bites, you no longer need them." I took my anklets off, except for two on each ankle, enough to jingle with each step. I was the only Himba on the ship, out of nearly 500 passengers. My tribe is obsessed with innovation and technology, but it is small, private, and as I said, we don't like to leave Earth. We prefer to explore the universe by traveling inward as opposed to outward. No Himba has ever gone to Umza Uni. So me being the only one on the ship was not that surprising. However, just because something isn't surprising doesn't mean it's easy to deal with. The ship was packed with outward-looking people who loved mathematics, experimenting, learning, reading, inventing, studying, obsessing, revealing. The people on the ship weren't Himba, but I soon understood that they were still my people. I stood out as a Himba, but the commonalities shined brighter. I made friends quickly, and by the second week in space, they were good friends. Of course, it is all to change oh so sadly and so soon, but Binti goes on, enrolls in Umza University, and discovers life beyond the stars and life as a young woman out on her own. It's quite a fascinating, good, an exciting read. It's also written by a Hugo, Nebula, and World Fantasy Award-winning author, so a lot to recommend this book. Binti, the complete trilogy with a brand new Binti story. It's available at so many different locations in our community, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening. Read the book.